When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of their elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandments, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. Some 1,100 years after the death of Christ, an unknown but very wise monk is said to have written these words. He wrote, "When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I soon found that too difficult, so I tried to change my country. And when I found I couldn't change my country, I began to focus on my town. But I failed at that also. So I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realize that the only thing I can truly change is myself. And I realize that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. My family would have had an impact on my town, and my town on our nation. And then, therefore, we may have indeed changed the world." I hope we all can agree those are fairly wise words. And they point out that simple truth that none of us has the power to change another. We can only change ourselves. And when we learn that lesson, we begin to realize that pointing fingers at the behavior of others is an exercise in futility. Even worse, it prevents us from pointing our finger where it should be pointing, right at ourselves. It is a tough lesson to learn, especially today where we live in an age of finger-pointing. If we look at our politics, it's just an exercise in finger-pointing. Whether the politicians are national or local, issues are replaced quickly by blame, name-calling, and disrespect. Now understand, nothing I say means that we should not correct our children, and we are absolutely called to let friends and family know if their words or actions contradict the gospel message of understanding, love, and forgiveness. But we must always remember, we cannot change anyone. We cannot force anyone to change. Change has to happen from within. And we must know that our example of a true Christian witness is a more powerful, much more powerful than finger pointing or shouting. This past week, as I had just sat down to pray and prepare for this homily, I was interrupted by the news from Afghanistan. 13 of our own sons and daughters, along with at least 169 other souls, had their life snuffed out by suicide bombers. So instead of asking God what he wanted me to say in this homily, I began to pray for those who lost their life, their family and friends, our country and our world. And after a minute or so in prayer, even as a tear was rolling down my cheek, I suddenly realized another part of me was already pointing fingers. My brain was already asking, well, who was to blame? Why didn't anyone see this coming? Surely we could have done something to stop this unbelievable loss of life. Who screwed this up? Was it the president, the Congress, our military leaders? It has to be somebody's fault. So no, it's not only politics where we point fingers. Sometimes we point fingers, even during prayer. And most of us seem to be experts at it. We love to point out what everyone else is doing wrong. The blame game over COVID-19 certainly has proven that to us. We nitpick everyone else's behavior to death. And of course, we love to gloat if we just happen to be proven right. The Pharisees and the scribes in today's gospel are doing just that. They're nitpicking the actions of the disciples. They're finding fault with what they do. And by the Jewish standards of that day, they indeed were breaking Jewish law. But Jesus points out that what is truly wrong are those things that come from within. He says that from within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, and arrogance, folly. All of these come from within, and this is what defiles. And many of those things Jesus mentions lead us to point fingers every day and take cheap shots at everyone else while never looking deep inside ourselves. And what I'm speaking about here is the temptation we all face to pick on the behavior of others, often because it just is different than our own. In our first reading, Moses tells the people that they must observe the commandments of the Lord, but warns them, do not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. We are called to obey the commandments and share the gospel message. We are never called to point fingers, nitpick, assign blame, or ever condemn anyone. We often forget that the gospel is not a tool by which we measure the action of others. Rather, the gospel is a mirror by which we must judge ourselves. And it takes courage to honestly take a long look into that mirror, and even greater courage to change what we might see. But unless we're willing to change, we may end up wasting our lives and endangering our everlasting lives. Our faith teaches that we are all children of God. It was His breath that brought us to life in our mother's womb. He created us out of love, to love. He gave each of us a great mission, to love one another as He loves us. There's an old tradition in our church, I'm sure some of you are familiar with. It's called a nightly examination of conscience. So today I encourage you, no matter how young or old you may be, I would like to remind and encourage you to continue that tradition. Every night as you lay your head on the pillow, take a few moments to remember what happened that past day. Look within. Recall your successes, your failures, and your sins. The times you reached out in love, and the times you missed that opportunity. The times you pointed fingers at others instead of looking within yourself, and ask for forgiveness, and ask for change. Change so you can better imitate Christ and fill our world with his great love. And let us pray together here that someday enough hearts will be changed so no more may lose their lives to war and violence. Let us take a moment to offer our prayers for the families who have lost someone in Afghanistan this past week. And as we pray for the repose of these souls senselessly killed and for consolation for their loved ones, the sacrifices of our brave men and women in uniform and those of their families affect us all deeply and should humble us all. We ask that our Blessed Mother may intercede and protect those in harm's way. And we ask Our Lady of Perpetual Help to pray for us.